Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful, and on a decent headset, Uncle Rap Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm not crazy. I've just been in a very bad mood for 57 years.
Aww.
Except when I do the podcast, then I'm usually in a good mood.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back from Illinois, back at both jobs. But normally, I don't talk about what I get paid. But this week, I got all sorts of great news about pay, thanks to our government.
Cool, because you're a frontline worker.
I get the frontline worker bonus check.
As will I.
And they upped our pay at the group home because we were able to get an increase in pay through the state government. And this was the biggest raise I've ever gotten in my life. Let me get a calculator here.
While you're calculating, I will talk about how my raise is still tied up in the budget. Because as you know, they've been trying to get TSA parity with the rest of the government. Because they figure we're about 30% less paid than other branches of the government. People have been like where I have been for 20 plus years. However, it's obviously not a big issue because it doesn't matter if it's Republicans or Democrats. Nobody really voted on it until they suddenly realize, you know what? People can leave TSA and go work fast food or Target and Walmart for the same money and less bullshit.
Yeah.
So when they did finally decide to cough up the cash, it's tied in the budget. Well, Corey, tell the boys and girls what's happened to our budget.
Don't they always cut the budget for TSA?
No. Just like every year. They haven't passed a budget.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah,
part of it's because it's an election year. Part of it's because nobody really gives a damn. They did that continuing resolution. So while we've been waiting all year long for this to pass, and again, some of this has been waiting 20 years or more, it got kicked down until after the election. So Congress always has that lame duck session before the new year and the new Congress where anybody and their uncle could decide, fuck TSA, we're going to take it out of the budget. Because they didn't agree on it. One, I think the House said, yeah, we'll pay them in April. The Senate said we'll pay them in July. And then they go to the resolution conference where they have to hammer out the agreement. Well, there's still that. So we're waiting for after the elections and they get back in session for that lame duck pre-Christmas session to see it. Well, they will pass a budget. However, whether they pass it with what we want, we'll see. Confidence is low.
I got a raise of 18%.
Very nice.
At the group home. And Tom, who was my coworker when I did overnights, he went from 2001 to 2012 without a raise. Since then, his salary has doubled. So that's got to feel good. Especially that the job isn't as hard as it used to be because we're in houses with fewer people rather than in the cottages with 12 beds. So, yeah, good news. Thank you, government. We don't hear that very often now, do we?
Nope. And I think the government thing was mostly a state thing where the state decided anybody who was a frontline worker could apply for this extra thing. And initially they're like, oh, it could be upwards of $800. And then they realized, oh, there was a lot more people on the front line than they anticipated. So,
they also expanded what meant frontline.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife didn't qualify, although she was with the government because she got to work at home. Whereas I wasn't working at home. And I complain a lot about her job. That's part of the American psyche. Complain about your job. But they did actually it was pretty smooth. Once you got through the state, TSA had somebody dedicated to just, yep, you're approved. Because they didn't want to take a chance that, you know, they would get screwed up. So that actually on the half of TSA was pretty smooth. And of course, hopefully we get the money right before Black Friday. Yay!
We will be getting the money next week.
Cool. Yeah, they said 7 to 10 days. I imagine, I would assume they would take taxes out of it. They're going to tax us some way or another on it. Government's got to get their fair. Government giveth, government taketh away.
Yes, they have to tax us on the money that they're giving us.
Yes.
But you know what that means, Joe?
Hopefully we'll have money to play with.
We have more money for comics.
Money, 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 money. Not that that has ever stopped me from, you know, going to my friendly neighborhood comic store.
So what we have is our monthly previews episode. Hooray!
And there was much rejoicing.
As we do every month, previews is the... Actually, it's the same size. Even though not as many publishers are going to be going through Diamond. It is the magazine that tells us what comics are coming out in 2 months. So this is the December previews. We go through...
Number 409.
We go through and point out the stuff that we find interesting. The new series, trade paperbacks, hardcovers. We do not go through every comic we are going to buy, or this episode would last days.
And although we do not mind if you say you are a creator and you have something you want us to push that's coming out, we don't mind doing that. If you want to send us an email and say, hey, you guys overlooked this, we'll do that as well. Otherwise, it is interactive. So the three things you need, like Corey said, the previews for number 409 for October 22nd, Marvel free previews catalog number 13, and DC Connect issue number 29 for October 2029. You can, if you luck out and you got the customer order form, we don't use that. So you can put that aside or save it for your friendly neighborhood retailer. Or do like I do. Recycle it.
Yeah, because we have a spreadsheet that we put our stuff into for our non-local comic retailer.
Yes.
Joe, what's on the covers?
I don't even notice. Let's see. Oh, yes. I'll be talking about this when we get to it. Disney's Gargoyles is back. A new monthly epic by Gargoyles creator Greg Wiseman. Through Dynamite again. Well, why not through Marvel? I don't know. Maybe Marvel's just been told, tell you what, you guys just deal with the superhero stuff. If we want to license out our other properties, we're going to do it. Let's see. On the side, a new book from Image, Two Graves. I don't have my cheaters on, so I can't tell who it's from. The other side has from Boom, A Vicious Circle. And, of course, way on the top, the Green Ranger strikes again as the Green Ranger is the first in a new line of gallery dioramas. Will we be recommending this for Brian? Well, we'll find out towards the end of the show. I will also point out, we'll point out the Marvel and DC ones when we get to Marvel and DC. So, or do we want to start with Marvel and DC since they're separate?
You know, we should go ahead and start with Marvel and DC because that's where we spend most of our time anyway.
Yeah. Well, so if you pull out your Kinect, you can't help but notice the event of the decade is here.
Already? Batman
Spawn, written by Todd McFarlane. Don't know why I put the extra Mc in there. Art by Greg Capullo. So you don't have to go very far to page one. And of course, two dark heroes, cursed by tragedy, find their paths again crossing, but not by choice. What sinister foe is at work, putting the Dark Knight against the Hellspawn? From the shadows of Gotham City to New York City, this epic event is the blockbuster you've been waiting for. Almost two decades for, because that's how long ago was the other one. It's a one-shot, $6.99, so not priced well. Has oodles of variant covers and I've got my feeler out to my good buddy Tim at Granite City, because if you look in very, very, very small print on page one, there's a 1 in 666 variant signed by Todd McFarlane. There's a 1 in 666 variant signed by Greg Capullo. And of course, a 1 in 1,000 signed by both. And you know how I am about signed books. Actually, you could even go down to the 1/20th signed variant cover by Todd McFarlane, inked. Not sure what that means. And then there's a Jim Lee variant cover, a Brett Booth.
A glow-in-the-dark cover.
Yes, and a blank sketch cover, which, you know, I was cruising the eBays earlier, and some of those blank variant covers get expensive because not a lot of people are buying them, and then somebody decides, you know, maybe I do want to have my favorite character sketched on a favorite book. So a lot of people are looking for them right before cons, because some guy was pumping them out like a $25 a pop, and that was the cheapest price out there. So I know when they offer the Supergirl ones, I tend to get 10 or 20 of them just so when I finally do find a artist I'd like to have do a sketch for me, I is prepared. So that is my first pick as well. If I can, I'll go for the signed ones. Judging by the cost and the price of the signed ones that came out with the whole Gunslinger Spawn, King Spawn, Spawn Universe, I imagine these some bitch is going to be very expensive. I'll be more than I'm willing to go.
Oh, that's going to be a lot. Oh, what about if I don't buy it? Oh, you can't afford that.
So that would be my first pick.
If you go to page 15.
Oh, you're on my second pick as well.
Action Comics 1050. The new Superman era starts here. This is going to be the Superman story after Dark Crisis is over. So they're setting the new Superman status quo. They have not gone into any detail as to what this new status quo will be yet, because they don't want to spoil Dark Crisis. But they will have, again, tons and tons and tons and tons of variant covers.
Yes. Now, there is a caution I'm going to give you on this. Obviously, if you're going to be going for the super rare ones, like there's a 1 in 100 by Steve Rood, a 1 in 250 by Michael Elred. I don't know why to put Michael. He's Mike. Jim Lee's doing a 1 in 1,500 foil ink variants, yada, yada, yada. I have noticed after every time DC does one of these, there are several comic shops in town that tend to liquidate the various covers at ridiculously low prices, which is how I ended up with tons of Detective Comics number 27 variants, how I ended up with, we went down to Hot Comics Jordan, I think. I don't know if it was a Black Friday or just I think our excursion when we went down to Mankato. And they had a bunch. They were just blowing out for cheap. And I don't remember what it was. It wasn't Detective, but it was something Batman, because there were just tons of them. You know, they were doing them for as low as a buck. So, again, if you can find these one in whatever variants on the shelf, or you got a friendly neighborhood comic store that will give them to you, go for it. But I wouldn't go bug-ass crazy buying a ton of these. Hell, even Dan Juergens had a whole bundle. I remember Gruber bought it at one of the shows, because you could get not only the rare Juergens covered and have him sign it, but you could get all the other variants that he was given, including some of the pricier ones. So on page 16, 17 are some of the ones. Of course, the Jim Lee variants are top secret.
Yes, because he probably hasn't finished them
started yet.
So I don't know what they're going to be doing. It looks like it's the same creative team, believe it or not, that's currently on it, with Philip Kennedy Johnson, Joshua Williams, and Tom Taylor as the writers. So I'm going to be interested, because they've been hinting at everything from this is going to be the Golden Age Superman, a version of that, to it's going to be the son of Superman, to all these things. But it actually looks like they're going back to Kal-El. as the main Superman. Luthor is going to become his main villain. And it says 2 years worth of Superman stories come to a head in this oversized anniversary issue with all-star talent that launches Superman and the DC universe into the exciting new era. Of course, on the pages afterward, you've got the end of Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, which they call the dawn of the DCU. And then the Infinite Multiverse is back with Dark Crisis Big Bang.
Written by Mark Waid and art by, again, the aforementioned Dan Jurgens and others. And it comes with a ton of variants, too. So you have the choices you have from DC today.
Excellent. My next book. Okay. Page 26.
Oh, okay. One ahead of me, but let's see. Oh, yes. This is a resolicit from last March, in case, because I know we talked about it last March. Or would that, no, that would have been January.
Tom King and George Fornes reinvent some of DC's most beloved and obscure characters called, and this is a book called Danger Street. What it is, Tom King is going to be using the characters from DC number, the DC first issue special, and creating a story around them. These are characters such as the Dingbats of Danger Street, Lady Cop, the Green Team, Manhunter, and the Creeper. And it's Tom King, so it's going to be weird and it's going to be good.
Yep. This one, I'm really, it's a black label, 12 issues. I don't know if I'm, I will probably jump on board with it because I think it'll be fun. Although I am tempted to wait for the inevitable, well, there'll probably be what, trade 1 through 6, another trade 7 through 12, and of course the inevitable hardcover that has it all.
Yeah.
On page 25, I'm going to point out something. Probably get this for my daughter because it should be on sale before Christmas and I can toss it in her Christmas stocking. Harley Quinn Uncovered number 1. It's just a celebration of Harley Quinn's 25th issue. And it comes with a gorgeous, irrelevant look at the amazing variant covers that help make the Maid of Mischief magnificent. Ooh, somebody's channeling their inner Stan Lee. So it's an art book of epic proportion. It comes with a couple variants as well, but because it's I might just go to my friendly neighborhood comic store and pick this up because, as you know, one of my ongoing freakings is I never quite know when I'm going to get my discount comic book order. Matter of fact, this week, just to keep, I plunked down my $5 over at the source and got me my preview copies, so that way I'd have something to at least talk about than just to sit back and go, yeah, Corey, that sounds cool.
You remember when you talked about writing all those songs? Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Joe, go to page 30.
Page 30.
The 100th birthday for Stan Lee is being celebrated at DC by using his Just Imagine characters. They did a series of books. Once Stan's contract with Marvel was voided, he was free to work for everyone. So he went over to DC and did a series of books called Just Imagine, where he reimagined all of the big name DC heroes. And they will be using those versions of the characters in this one shot to celebrate Stan's 100th birthday. And I read one of the big comic news sites, and I always call them news with the Z sites because they don't know anything. Wow, DC is doing an anniversary thing for Stan Lee before Marvel has announced one. Marvel announced one almost a year ago with the Stan Lee Best of Stan Lee Omnibus. So, no, DC did not announce theirs first. Marvel announced theirs first. They'll both come out the same month. It's just because Marvel's was an omnibus, they had to announce it much earlier so they could figure out how many to print. And omnibuses take time, baby. Those books take time.
Yes. You have to get those little kids over in China to bind them together. Sometimes your little fingers get all full of paper cuts. Crazy Comics and Stories would like to disavow the fact that we think that omnibuses are put together by Chinese children.
I don't know who makes them. I just know that I like them.
I'm going to flip one page back to page 28. I will say I kind of gave this one a collective yawn, the Tales from Earth 6, because I didn't like the stories that Stan Lee reimagined to begin with. Although I may have to go revisit. Initially, I was underwhelmed. So,
but if you take a look at the creative teams, you got Mark Waid, Jerry Ordway, Stephanie Williams, Michael Olsen, Steve Orlando, Kevin McGuire, Lee Weeks.
Yep.
But it looks good.
Yeah, but how are they going to fit that all in 96 pages one shot? It's like, is it going to be one big ass story? Is everybody round robin?
It is 10 new adventures, so it'll be it's like those DC 100 pagers.
They're going to have less than 10 pages a piece to do them all.
Yeah.
It's only 96 pages. So again, I'll wait and see. Again, it's one of those books that if I happen to be cruising the Friendly Neighborhood Comic Store and I see their shelves are absolutely loaded with them because nobody gives a flying fig except guys like Corey and I who have been around way too long, I may pick one up. But I will be picking up, probably in book form, the previous page, The Sandman Universe Dead Boy Detectives. It's revisiting the characters from, of course, Neil Gaiman's book. How do you say that? Pornsack Bichette? That's who wrote it. Jeff Stokely does the art. A couple pages of the art. Sounds interesting, but most of my Sandman stuff I have in trades. So I will probably wait for the trade. But again, it's there, especially if you're a Sandman Universe fan. I will point out the last thing on page 3233. I do like the fact that they have the DC holiday card, holiday variants and holiday card variants out, and which issues love me my Christmas covers. So this may be a little more expensive for me because I will probably, even if I don't buy the issue, Woman or the Flash or Wonder Woman, I may buy it just to get the variant. Of course, the number one thing is it always depends on, well, we haven't even gotten to the collected edition. So let's see what we got in our collected editions for this month.
If you head over to page 35, the Milestone Compendium Volume 2. This is a series of big old honking trade paperbacks that are as thick as an omnibus. And they're reprinting all of the Milestone comics. This one also reprints the crossover they had between the Milestone universe and the DC universe, which spilled into the Batman books when the Batman books were red hot. So I love me my Milestone. I'm going to be picking this one up and putting it on the shelf right next to Compendium number one.
Neat.
Joe?
I have nothing. There were no collected editions this month that caught my attention.
Here's another one that caught my eye because I like these books. Page 38 is Aquaman, 80 Years of the King of the Seven Seas Deluxe Edition. This is another of those anniversary books, although 80 years is kind of a weird anniversary, but you do what you do. A lot of the DC characters are hitting their 80th anniversary, so this will be a collection of the best Aquaman stories of all time, which means it'll mostly be stuff from the last 20 years, because, boy, there aren't a lot of good Aquaman stories before that.
Shaking my head in agreement, yep.
And it looks like that is about it. There is a lack of collected editions. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 collected editions, trade paperbacks or hardcovers, in this month's previews for DC.
But then again, it's Christmas time. If they can't think it's going to get here in time for Christmas, maybe that's why they're kind of hedging their bets and just not pushing their luck. So, all right. That's it for DC Connect. I'll pick up your Marvel's free previews, number 13. One side is a Miles Morales Spider-Man number one. The other side is a crossover where Inferno reignites which is kind of ironic because I've got my Omnibus Inferno ready to be read. Dark Web number one.
So. It's a clone saga. Yay. Spider-Man's clone teams up with Jean Grey's clone to do horrible, horrible things.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. If you're not sure, there is on page one, Timeless, number one. I recommend picking up this book because this tends to tie into everything else that's going to be happening in Marvel's universe for 2023. And I know last year I recommended it. It was one of the big books I picked up and read. And I believe I read mine in January, even though I might have in 2021. So, and of course, it has The Last Battle of Kang the Conqueror, Tyrant of Timeline, Master of Endless Legions, Warrior and Conqueror Without Compare. Kang is in search of the one thing he cannot have, his own podcast. But he's not the only one after the missing moment. Oh, I'm sorry. I was way off base on that one. Kang soon finds himself in a new position on the run across the events of the Marvel Universe future. So, and if you want, there's a Miss Minutes variant cover by Tan Nauk. Nauk. I just like saying Nauk. Now the number one question everybody's been asking. People have been calling me, sending me emails, bothering me in the middle of the night. I can't even go to the bathroom at the airport. They say, Joe, is Corey going to be buying the Dark Web crossover?
Well, yeah, because I buy Spider-Man.
And for me, and again, this is for those of you with OCD, you might want to sit down. I'm going to buy the Omnibus or the collected version, whatever comes out first. I am not buying any of the Amazing Spider-Mans that tie into this, even though I do buy and collect Amazing Spider-Man. I thought about, I kind of went both ways. I was kind of like, you know, it's not a lot of crossover. I mean, even the tie-ins only have two issues. Maybe Dark Web has three. But I just figured I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to sit back and wait and just pick this up as a collected. And then continue Spider-Man with number 19.
Yeah. Iron Man's getting a new number one with the new creative team.
Oh, whatever.
Gary Duggan is going to be writing it. I like Gary Duggan's stuff.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm like, eh, whatever.
It all ends. Yeah.
Again?
This time he didn't die. I will say this. Well, I am very tired of Tony Stark dying. He's turning into Jean Grey. We also get a Miles Morales Spider-Man number one with a new creative team. I do not know the people on this creative team. But I do like Miles Morales Spider-Man. So I will be giving them a try. And, oh, Joe, they have a facsimile edition here for you.
I saw that.
I have finally heard more about the Miracle Man stuff, the Miracle Man Silver Age.
Yeah.
These are not just reprints. Buckingham is going in and completely redrawing the stories. Oh,
so don't sell off your other ones yet.
Yeah. These are not reprints. These are redrawn of the issues that were already presented. And this one is the first all new chapter of the Silver Age. Again, I am waiting until it's a trade paperback because I cannot tell you how many times I've been burnt by Miracle Man. Oh, it's starting up. No, it's not. Oh, it's starting up.
No, here we go. Nope. It's a miracle. It's not.
Although I remember years ago, almost 8 years ago, remember the Miracle Man annual that came out? And we were like, oh, you know, we'll get it when it's in a trade. Well, they still haven't put it in a trade yet because they haven't finished a Miracle Man story yet.
Now, don't you feel foolish?
Pretty much, yeah.
But that has nothing to do with the podcast.
No, but okay, I am going to hunt that up.
Keep going if you want, because my next thing I'm buying isn't until page 58.
Well, yeah, there are. The rest of this is a lot of issue 2, issue 4, issue 8. We don't, you know, not going to go into all that detail about those issues. So, Joe, what is your next book?
I am looking again at a facsimile edition, Savage She-Hulk number 1.
Didn't you even just buy Savage She-Hulk number 1?
Even, well, I read it, and remember, it's the only one of the whole run that's actually semi-good. It's probably because Stan Lee wrote it and John Buscema penciled it. And, of course, I can do that and read this, or I can open up the cherry mint one I bought just to sit on for a while. And I figured, well, this will probably be the one I'll pick up. And, of course, if you don't want to spend $100 picking up a number one, well, here's your chance.
And there were no other comics that I was pointing out.
So, there is one I've got on page 65.
Okay.
If you can, and that's a Origin of Marvel Comics, Marvel Tales. I have these ad nauseum, but if you don't, here's your chance for $7.99 to get the Origin of Marvel Comics, the characters, written by the originals, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko. And we've got, let's see, Amazing Fantasy 15.
Fantastic Four number one.
Yep, and Avengers one. And for $7.99, this is a fun little package. If you've got friends that are like new to the Marvel Universe, again, let's see, when's this bad boy come out? Oh, I got to go to the back of the, I'm trying to see if it comes out before Christmas.
I believe it does. All of these are December books.
Yes. And so they're a good stocking stuffer, especially for the kids. I know last Christmas I gave my brother-in-law's girlfriend's kid, who really loves Spider-Man, the Marvel Masterworks small edition of the Spider-Man, which he absolutely loved. I know my kids loved reading my Essentials of Spider-Man, because I don't think there were epics back when I got the Essential. So these old stories still have legs. And if you want to impress a kid, especially one who's really into Spider-Man, and you can't find yourself a decent, well, you got your Ultra, your facsimile edition of Miles Morales. Again, this to me is a decent pack up for $7.99.
And now where my money goes.
It could be an expensive month for me.
Joe, do you remember that Superior Spider-Man story?
I does.
It's getting an omnibus, but it looks like it's going to be a two-volume one, even though this reprints all 31 issues of Superior Spider-Man and the lead-in story and the annuals.
What could possibly be the next one?
I don't know.
So this is on the maybe list.
Then on the next page, this is one that for me is on the maybe list, because I'm going to have to look and see if they've already collected this in the Peter David Hulk run. And that is the Maestro stories. These are all the stories of Peter David created a future version of the Hulk called the Maestro back in a series, in a two-shot, two-issue book called Future Imperfect that George Perez drew. He has since gone back and done a series of miniseries that leads up to basically showing how the Hulk becomes the Maestro. It's also got stuff from Captain Marvel, the Incredible Hulk two-parter that he did toward the end of his run of Hulk about Maestro, the Spider-Man 2099 tie-in, the Future Imperfect miniseries, as well as a Exiles crossover into that universe. I thought most of this was collected in the Peter David Hulk omnibuses, but I'm going to have to check, because if it's not...
I can go check it out if you want to continue, because when I go to where my omnibuses are, that I will be out of range. I will say the Loki omnibus and the Captain Marvel omnibus are on the maybe list as well. I don't know if I can afford to. I hate not to buy the omnibus when it gets solicited, because, you know, we get a good deal on them and they aren't coming out till next year. But four, there's a couple reprints, but that's a lot of fucking omnibuses. I'm going to go upstairs and grab my Hulk omnibuses, so I'll be back in a minute.
Okay,
I'll just go keep through talking to see how omnibuses. Long I can go.
All right, on the next page is the Loki God of Stories omnibus. This reprints the stuff around the...
Hey, Loki. I can hear you. I must be right above my computer.
Loki Agent of Asgard series, as well as some miniseries that came out, including the two Loki miniseries, one from 2004, one from 2010, and the Vote Loki miniseries that came out in 2016. This is mostly by Robert Rodi, but it has stuff by other creators as well. On the next page is a reprint of an omnibus that...
Joe Strong, carry Hulk omnibus downstairs. Oh, shit, I'm back online. Sorry.
That I was surprised at how fast this thing sold out. And that is the Deadpool and Cable omnibus, which reprints all 50 issues of the Cable and Deadpool series, including a couple of tie-in books. It's a monster of an omnibus. It's almost 1,300 pages with a god-awful cover by Rob Liefeld. So I'm going to be getting the Marx Brooks cover. But I was surprised at how fast this thing sold out. This, when it first came out, it sold out within a month of its first printing. Then on the next page is the first omnibus of the Kelly Thompson Captain Marvel, which is the run of Captain Marvel by Kelly Thompson. And I believe this is the run that is currently underway. I'm going to double check.
Yes. No, it yes, is. It is.
It is. So I don't know if we have had an omnibus of a book by a creator that's still going. This could be the first time, but it's popular enough that they're going to do that. Joe, do you have your Hulk omnibus?
All right. I don't have number two yet. I do have number three. I do see Hulk Future Imperfect miniseries on the back of three. And let's see, there's the Onslaught stuff. Let's see, the first appearance of the Thunderbolts. Heroes Return. Yeah. And let me just flip back. What is Maestro? Okay, obviously has Future Imperfect, Hulk 640, 641, but does not have the Captain Marvel, the other ones. And then the current run that, what you said earlier, where Peter Dave is kind of giving the origin of the Maestro. So a lot of this stuff has probably been reprinted in trades, but as far as I can tell, not in omnibuses. Oh! Lord, they're heavy. That's my workout for the day.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at the Peter David Incredible Hulk Omnibus number 5, which kind of gathers up all the odds and ends. And I'm looking, and even though it does have the new Fantastic Four miniseries, which hasn't even finished yet, going to be in it, that it comes out on February 28th. It does not have any of the Maestro miniseries. So that's probably why they didn't put the Maestro miniseries in that fifth volume of the Peter David Hulk. Now, I'm not buying what's on the next page, but I do want to point it out because I think this is an amazing thing that they're doing.
What page are we on now?
Joe, go to page 82.
82. Ooh.
These are Marvel Remasterworks. They are going back to the first. Well, they're not going back to the first four omnibus, first four Masterworks, because the first Masterwork was Fantastic Four number one. But they are doing Masterwork for Amazing Spider-Man, X-Men, and Avengers, the first Masterwork for each one. They have rescanned, recolored, recalibrated everything using the technology we have now, rather than the technology they had back when they started the Masterworks in 87. They're also going to have more behind the scenes stuff, more bonus material, scans of original art, essays, covers from other collections of the material, house ads, and more. So basically, if you picked up the omnibuses, which had all this extra stuff in it, they're putting that in the Masterworks as they remaster them. They are also talking about how they will use an improved order, because as they go on, it's okay, where do these books fit in, like the annuals and such? And the order that they originally did it in, they don't feel fits correctly. So for some of those, they're going to be correcting that. I don't have any idea if they're going to be doing it every month like they do the Masterworks. I would not be surprised if they did, but these are the first three. And I wanted to ask Joe, because I've talked a little in the past about how I bought the Masterworks when they were coming out, up until they ended the program in 93, 94. Joe, did you buy the Masterworks as they came out?
I did not. I had a big run of them when I sold off Hot Comics, because that was one of the two runs, that and the archives I kept. And then over the years, I sold them off. I don't regret selling them off. They took a lot of space.
And now you're buying omnibuses, which take up space.
Yeah, I'm buying omnibuses, and I'm also, which are cool because it's the whole story. And again, if I really want to read it, I got Marvel Unlimited. If I want to, I've got all the essentials. There's plenty of ways to read stuff now. And I'm almost to the point where I'm like, I want to go back and reread some of the early stuff that I never did to begin with.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I like that they did a lot of the Silver Age omnibuses, because there's some stuff, even when I read it in the essentials, because I collected all the essentials, love the essentials, still love the essentials. One of my favorite ways to just kind of binge read stuff. But a lot of that is like, oh yeah, I didn't read the early Daredevil stuff. Oof, this isn't very good. Yeah. Or I still remember when I got the Essential Submariner, and my son was living here, and he read it before I did. And after a while, he came out and he said, "This is the same story every month, isn't it? Somebody pisses off Namor. Namor gets into a fight with them. And then either if it's a hero, Namor apologizes. Or if it's a villain, they beat Namor and Namor beats him up the next issue." And I said, "Yeah, that was pretty much it." They didn't quite know what to do with Namor, but they still printed it anyway. I'm looking through. My next book is on page 93.
All right, I got a couple after that.
Okay. I have Strange Academy Year One, which reprints the first run of the book, which was 12 issues, written by Scotty Young, drawn by Umberto Ramos. Loved this book so much. It's kind of, when the X-Men started, it was a school for superheroes. This is very much the same thing, where it's a school for magic users. And I found this book so much fun. I thought it was very well done. I'm glad that they're doing another series of it. Joe, what's next on your list?
I'm on page 95, the X-Men Hellfire Gala Immortal trade paperback, because I did not pick up any of these. And so now I can catch up and figure out just what the heck was going on. Because I always, they referenced everything, but it was like, well, I kind of bowed out until I could get everything collected.
On page 99, we're getting a new epic collection of Ant-Man / Giant Man. Yes. These are the stories that came out after Giant Man was booted from Tales to Astonish. So it's got the Ant-Man run from Marvel Feature that lasted 6 issues, his appearances in Power Man, Black Goliath, Champions, and then the Scott Lang Ant-Man from Marvel Premiere. And that's where it ends. But on the page before is one of my favorite epic collections. And that is the X-Men Epic Collection, It's Always Darkest Before the Dawn. These are the stories of the X-Men when they didn't have a book. After they got canceled, and they kind of bounced around the Marvel Universe, because Roy Thomas, it was the first superhero book he wrote at Marvel, so he always had a fondness for them. And he thought if he kind of kept them around, he'd be able to restart the book, which they did with Giant Size X-Men number one. But these are all the appearances of the X-Men between their cancellation and Giant Size X-Men number one. This was a really fun epic collection because you saw all these different ways that they were shown and nobody quite did them the same way.
Yeah, I actually bought this when it came out, either the first, how often this epic's been republished. Highly, highly recommended. As well as on page 105, I'll be picking up the Kang, the Saga, the Once and Future Conqueror trade paperback. There's a bunch of stuff which I probably have collected in other places, but it's kind of cool to have it all just in one single thing. And that includes, let's see, Fantastic Four 19, Avengers 8, all new, all different Avengers 13, Avengers 13, 1 through 6, as well as a bunch of other things, including Timeless 1 and materials from Fantastic Four number 35.
And on the page before that, they had the Saga of Scott Lang, which means they're probably going to be giving him a bit of a higher profile in the Marvel Universe. It reprints some recent miniseries using him. And both the Ant-Man and the Kang have an interesting trade dress where it's just the character against a white background. So I wonder if this is a new sort of line they're going to be doing, especially since they're both called a saga of, hey, we're going to be using this character a lot. Here's a book to catch you up on who they are.
No. Well, there is something, one thing I want to point out, but are there any other books you're interested in, Corey?
The paperback, the little mini Marvel Masterworks. This month is Captain Marvel Volume 1. Going to warn everybody right now, these stories are god awful.
Yes, yes.
It was really clear that the first Captain Marvel story was Martin Goodman came to Stan Lee and said, we need a Captain Marvel on the stands now.
That.
So that we could claim the trademark to that name. Because, boy, did it read and look like it was slapped together over a weekend. But that was it for me for Marvel.
I'm tempted just to buy this issue for the cover. Turn back to page 53. Black Panther number 12, Alex Ross.
Oh, that is a nice cover.
Oh, I may pick that up just for the cover. And the story sounds interesting, too. I haven't been reading Black Panther, but sounds like he's finally gone a bit too far. So him and Spider-Man can hang out and moan about what they did. Anyway,
we know what Black Panther did.
Yeah, there is that. So, okay.
And now on to previews.
Woohoo!
The big book.
The big book!
Oh, I believe this was one of the few months where Image did not have a number one that jumped out at me, Joe.
Let's see what I've got. I'm trying to get it. Okay, page 32 is the first one I have marked down. Art Brute. This one just sounded interesting. W. Maxwell Prince, art cover by Martin or Zazzo and Matt Lopez? I don't know. The world of fine art is falling apart, and only Brute Art knows how to fix it. Along with the Bureau of Artist Integrity, Arthur Brute, the mad dream painter. And his trusty sidekick, Manny the Mannequin, must dive back into the very paintings that made him insane, or reality itself might just crumble to pieces. And what got me was when I was reading the previews on page 33 through 35 and that last panel on page 38. Somebody call the BIA! So this one's on the list but it may be I might do trades. I don't know. As each issue covers features new covers, new designs, and a new Silver Age-styled backup story featuring the art hero that no one's ever heard of until now. Let's see. What's your first page that you have something for?
Page 52. It's a collected version of a book you recommended, Beware the Eye of Odin.
Oh, yes.
Helgi, the prince of a Viking village, has stumbled upon the cursed Eye of Odin. If he doesn't return it to its rightful owner by the new moon, he will die an agonizing death of boils and decay. By his side are Stigger, a one-armed warrior past his prime, and Caden, a female warrior convinced she's a Valkyrie. Their only path will take them through the treacherous lands of Hundra folk, trolls, and earthen smiths. And on the next page is the only other image book that I have, Middle West, The Complete Tale by Scotty Young. When a violent storm levels his sleepy Middle West town, Abel and his childhood companion Fox must flee into a world of mystical carnies and soothsayer hobos, bridge trolls, and wilderness spirits, endless forests, and forgotten children. This is the entire series, all 18 issues.
I'm going to pick that one up. The other ones I've got are on page 36, a six-issue miniseries, Hexware. In a corporate-ruled world where class inequity is greater than ever, a desperate, lonely populace is drawn to a neo-spiritualism and hedge magic. When their teenage daughter is murdered, the Marx family is left asking the gods what they did to deserve this, but their android maid, Witchware, has a different approach, perhaps if she asked the depth. And again, what sold it for me, not only the very, very cool covers, which I haven't decided which one I'm getting, but there's three pages of art that kind of caught my attention. On page 47, Nightclub number one, you're 17 years old and you're by a vampire. You live in the shadows and drink human blood. How do you use your newfound gifts for the dream costume superhero life you've always wanted? Have a bit of fun. Mark Miller writes it. On mirrors. I don't have my cheaters on, so it's hard to read. Next time, Corey, remind me. Get your cheaters downstairs. So, interesting six-issue miniseries. And the other thing I'm going to recommend, if you haven't picked it up yet, on page 57, Paper Girls, The Complete Story. This, I imagine, is a new printing because I have the original printing and I enjoyed the living out of it. It just collects the entire series 1 through 30. So if you weren't good enough or smart enough to jump on when it first was recommended by us all those months ago, here's your chance to redeem yourself and never, ever doubt us again.
Also like to remind you that if you did watch the first season of Paper Girls on Amazon, this is the only way you're going to get the end of the story because they canceled it.
Yeah.
Joe, do you have anything from Boom?
I have a couple things. The first thing is on page 88. If you can get there without paper cuts. Owie. Know Your Station, number one, five-issue series from Sarah Gailey and Liana Kangas. The wealthiest people in the solar system abandon the Earth for a private sanctuary in space, leaving the rest of us to die amidst cataclysmic climate change. But the 1% won't be safe for long. A murderer is on the loose, specifically targeting the super rich. Soon, Elsie, an employee of the billionaire's space station, is wrapped up in a deadly investigation with each issue featuring a diabolically different kill. So if you liked Sarah's Eat the Rich, this is one for you. And this is one of those, on the next page, page 90, we talked about it briefly on the cover, A Vicious Circle, a three-issue prestige format series. They're recommending it for people who read Time Before Time, which I do, and Berserker from Boom itself. And it's from the director, screenwriter, and one of the visionaries behind The Batman and Project Power, creator Mattson Tomlin, teams up with the iconic artist Lee Ermejo from Batman Damn Joker. Sean Thacker is a trained assassin from the future who seeks revenge on the only other man with his affliction. Each life they take forces them both to travel between vastly different pasts and future eras, spanning from the 21st century Tokyo to 1950s New Orleans to the Cretaceous era and beyond. The two mortal rivals are locked in a battle of wills that spans millions of years to alter the course of history. I love a good time travel story. Again, it's three issues, $30. And of course, I imagine there'll be a trade. So it's always a crossover, cross off. Do I want to wait and get the trade, or do I want to jump on board when it's going? A couple things to point out. If you're a Mighty Morphin Ranger, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans, you lucky devil, because the second miniseries starts. It's on page 98, if you care. And then on page 104 is Book of Slaughter, which is a, I guess it's kind of like what Timeless is to Marvel. This is to the whole, what are they calling it? The Slaughterverse, I guess, which includes Something is Killing the Children and House of Slaughter. So this is not only kind of a spotlight, but it's also a precursor to the upcoming chapters of both series. So if you need a guidebook that delves into the deep lore of the Order of St. George, this is it for you. 64 pages for $10. So, and that's it.
On to Dark Horse.
I've only got two things from Dark Horse.
Oh, I've got a few more.
Okay. Well, how about if I blow off mine and then I'll sit back and listen to yours?
Okay.
Okay, from page 137, New Gru, Mark Evanier, Sergio Argonis, Gru, God Against Gru. Four issues. I love me some Gru. Every so often I go through my collection and I'm tempted just to get and keep one book because I know, as Mark says, it's just the same joke in every single issue. But I do collect. I don't have all the Grus. So, you know, as I find them cheap, I pick them up. So highly, highly recommend. It concludes an epic storyline that began in Gru, Fray of the Gods, and continued in Gru, Play of the Gods. So that's there. And then on page 151, this is a book I recommended before called Breathers. It was originally published by It's Alive, the name of the company, and now it's collected in the together for the first time. And I know I've been very sporadic or scatterbrained picking up these issues, but here it is, all nine issues in one collected edition. So pick it out. It's even when our own planet can no longer sustain us, humanity clings to life in this thoughtful dystopia where air itself is deadly. It's a cast of survivors as they struggle to keep going. The air is fatal. And of course, everybody needs to wear their breathers. So I've enjoyed the few issues that I was smart enough to order, but here's my chance. I can just get the whole trade paperback and read it all in one. Well, I don't read it all in one sitting, but have it all. I want it all. I'm that greedy. Corey, how about you? What do you want? What compels you to buy?
On page 135, The Legend of Luther Arkwright by Brian Talbot. And they only have one page of art, and you can tell by that one page of art that his art is phenomenal. This is the third book in the Adventures of Luther Arkwright. The first one was Adventures of Luther Arkwright. Second was Heart of Empire. This is the third. Luther Arkwright, a being of vast psychic power capable of traversing the swirling multiverse of infinite existences, is pursued by a far superior adversary across multiple historical divergent parallel worlds, both utopian and dystopian. And only Arkwright's experience and force of will provide any hope to avert humanity's annihilation. This is a book for someone who reads Michael Moorcock and says, yeah, I love me that multiverse stuff. These were stories that use multiverses long before the current trend of using them. And the standout, though, is his art. His art is in unbelievable detail, just beautifully, beautifully drawn. And it's a new Luther Arkwright story, so I'm going to be buying it. If you haven't read the previous ones, they do not have them available here, but you can find them if you haunt back issues and eBay. Then if you go to page 141, another BRPD omnibus. This is the fourth one. I do like that they're putting out all the Mike Mignola stuff in these omnibus forms because it's really easy to, it's easier to read. They usually collect two or three trade paperbacks, and this one collects again two trade paperbacks into one big book. Then on page 143, Elephant Men 2261. Omnibus Volume 1. Elephant Men started long time ago at Image and then has been bouncing around from publisher to publisher to publisher. And I remember I first picked it up because the first issues were drawn by Ladron. And he seems to have just vanished from comics altogether. But Richard Starkings is still doing Elephant Men. It's Blade Runner meets Planet of the Apes in the next adventure of the pulp science fiction series Elephant Men, which debuted nearly 15 years and 80 issues ago. Elephant Men are human-animal hybrids designed to fight a war, but the war is over, and now they live among us. This all-new story is a whodunit that draws our heroes, Hip Flask and Jack Farrell, into the curious death of an elephant man known to his friends as Shorty. Following this is an adventure where weapons of the war between Africa and Chinese transgenetics, which are these animal-human hybrids, have surfaced and are being transported from the East Coast to the West Coast. So this is basically the stuff that they've been doing for Comixology, printed in a book. I like Elephant Men. I didn't like it enough to follow it over to Comixology, but I will buy the omnibuses because I like these Dark Horse omnibuses. There is no EC book this month. Again, it looks like they are going quarterly. So I don't get to praise all the EC comics. And for me, that was it for Dark Horse. Cool. Joe?
Let's see. Who is next? Dynamite! Do you have anything for Dynamite?
I do not.
Okay, so I will ramble on for a while. Of course, I've already highly recommend Gargoyles. You go to page 166. Tons of variant covers, a signed variant as well, the premium covers, plus you get a decent interview with the creators on page 168, 169, some interior pages and design, character designs. So if you're a Gargoyles fan, you should definitely jump on board this because it's an all-new ongoing series in continuity with the Epic Gargoyles television classics. For you Red Sonja fans, Hell Sonja fans, well, you're lucky devils. They're together in their number one issue starting on page 174. Repeat about all the different variant covers. I will point out on page 191, starting on 191, are the fun things that as a comic store, I would definitely be buying. Because first you start out where you get all these different The Boys Virgin variant covers that are available at a fairly inexpensive price for the first time through previews, which means they were probably available either on Dynamic Forces site or on Dynamite site or whatever, including Herogasm Virgin cover number one. I mean, come on, put that one up front and center and let your folks talk about it. On page 192 and the 193 are the different various variant covers. You've got the Elvira, Wrath of Khan, Dave Acosta, Line Art, Virgin variant cover. These are a little more expensive, 50-ish bucks. On page 193, metal covers, which are just gorgeous. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more when we get to Freaking and Geeking. He says, looking around for the... it's down here somewhere. And that's it for Dynamite. Couple new series and so no real, those goofy little knickknacks and paddywhacks that I love to buy. A couple statues relisted on page 210. Or actually, I think they're artist proof statues. So they haven't been relisted, but they're tremendously rare, only 99 pieces. And if you're so inclined to put these on your shelf, this is your one chance to get them.
And now we go to Deluxe Publishers.
Deluxe.
which at the rate people are leaving Dynamite will soon be their premier publishers.
Joe,
what do you have with some of these deluxe publishers?
Well, let's see. On page 212, under Aftershock, Maniac of New York, don't call it a comeback number one. Maniac Harry, the seemingly unstoppable killer, has finally been stopped. The city celebrates. The mayor takes the credit. The Maniac Task Force director, Gina Green, last seen slicing the maniac's head open, has disappeared into parts unknown. But now, Detective Zelda Pettibone must pick up the pieces of a life that's suddenly so empty now that she almost wishes the maniac was back. And unfortunately, sometimes wishes are granted. That's right. There's a new maniac, but not the one you're expecting. Stay out of Central Park. Stay away from cable news because something terrifying is on the loose. Writer Elliot Kylan and artist Andrea Moody return to the acclaimed horror satire series for a tale of horrifying gore and even more horrifying cultural relevance. So it's a new story arc, and they got some really teeny tiny art you can check. But it just sounded interesting, so that's why I had that one down. Corey?
Joe has talked about this in the past, but there's a collected edition on page 230 of Gun Honey, Blood for Blood by Charles Arati and Ang Her Kang. It's from Hard Case Crime. Joe, what do I always say about Hard Case Crime?
It can't be hard enough for you.
No, what I always say about Hard Case Crime is buy it.
Oh, sorry. I guess
if it's from Hard Case Crime, I buy it.
Just buy it.
Yeah. Joe?
I'm still in Aftershock. I'm still in Aftershock. Page 214. All night and every day. It's time to party. While celebrating is the last thing grief-stricken introvert Michaela, is it? Michaela. I guess so. That's the last thing she wants to do. Her friends drag her out for the night, and she ends up getting trapped in a hellish curse, a party that never ends with no way to escape, not even dying. Now she must navigate the labyrinth of legendary banquet hideous, in capital letters, all on her own and learn its terrible secrets before she's consumed forever. It's a one-shot, 48-page prestige format, little itty-bitty art. And since it's a one-shot by Ray Fox and Andrea Fratella. Ah, what the heck? I'll give it a shot. Andrea? I don't know. Call us up. Tell us, hey, Ryder, you're really messing pronunciations this week. So, what you got next, Mr. Strode?
On page 237.
Let me guess. Hang on. I'm almost there. The Gilbilly Recipe Book.
No, but I know people who would like that. No, it is the complete Alien collection, The Shadow Archive. What it is, these are three Alien novels that take place between Alien and Aliens. These came out in the 90s. Good luck finding them because they are hard to find, even in used bookstores, but they are being reprinted. And I am picking them up because I like these novels. I like tie-in novels. I read two tie-in novels while I was on my vacation because these are characters I already know. I'm going to be with them as they go on an adventure, but I can pick it up and put it down. It's almost like a nostalgia pop in a lot of ways, but I like movie tie-in and TV tie-in novels when they're done well. And everything I've read is that these were done very well. Joe?
On page 240, under Ablaze, Family Time. The O'Connell family, Lily, age 13, Tyler, age 11, and their parents, are vacationing in Ireland when they encounter an old man with a mysterious crystal that seemingly teleports them 1,000 years back in time. You know how I love me a time travel story. Unsure whether they have stumbled into a historical reenactment, the family must befriend Rory, a timid local, battle a medieval tyrant and his henchmen, figure out how to get back to the present, while Lily learns to use her newfound superpowers. Let's see, Lily Windham, Robert Windham, art by Ashia Fulmore, and they have a little tiny code, square code you can use to preview issue number one. A couple different variant covers. This one just sounds, it's an all ages fantasy. It just sounds fun. And of course, you go to the next page, 242. There's a little bit more. Let's see. Oh, it goes, they're talking to Lily and Robert, and they go, what is your dad's best and or worst dad joke? And Lily says, all dad jokes are pretty cheesy. My dad seems to tell a lot of them. One of the most recent ones he asked was, why does Norway have barcodes on their warships? Robert says, so they can scan the Navy in. I think I like their dad. Cool. Oh, by the way, the following page, 244, has a little bigger art, so you can kind of look at it and get the gist as to whether or not this is your cup of tea, so to speak.
Just what I need, Joe getting a new group of dad jokes. Page 254, we have a Frank Miller Presents book. He just came up with the idea. It's written by Anthony Marinville and Chris Silvestri, but I'm buying it because Emma Kubert is drawing it. Emma Kubert, who does the wonderful book Inkblot. It's Pandora. Pandora is a new young adult fantasy inspired by the classic tale from Greek mythology, created and reimagined by Frank Miller. This is the latest book in the great line of titles from Frank Miller Presents. And this is a three-part series and the first of a trilogy of three-part series. The book is start of a truly epic adventure and not to be missed. I'm buying it for Emma Kubert's art.
And I just don't want to miss it. It's on my list as well.
And there will be a variant cover by Frank Miller.
Which may, I don't know. I have to see if it's affordable or not. I haven't looked any of those up yet. My next one's on page 272. Archie Christmas Spectacular, because I'm a sucker for Christmas books, which is kind of funny because I haven't read last year's Archie Christmas Spectacular. I was just going through my collection, which right now is in a state of three things. And I'll talk more about that when we get to Freaking and Geeking. But it has a decent Dan Parent cover. I believe I'm trying to. No, I'm sorry. Bill Galvin does the cover. If you're so into Christmas Stocking Digest, down in the corner, there's the Archie Showcase Digest number 11. And before we get too far along, since you're on the same page, just look over into Aspen's book. There is Fathom number 1 first issue special edition for $1.99. It's your chance to jump online and revisit the majesty of Michael Turner's beautiful underwater creation. Of course, a variant cover, very expensive to find. But here's your chance to revisit. And if you like it, they probably got, you go to the next couple pages, they got all sorts of books, starter editions for all their series. And so you can get caught up real fast.
You skipped over one of the books that I'm getting from Archie on page 272.
I didn't know you got Archie books anymore.
Yeah, this is Archie's Laugh Comics, which reprints stories from the over 400 issue series that started in the 1946, went all the way to the 90s. This format started as sequential reprints. It's now kind of become best ofs, which is okay, I guess, because there aren't a lot of people who are going to want those stories from 1946 because they're very, very different. But I do like these reprints because they kind of focus on a specific series and usually they tend to stick around a certain time frame. Again, I wish they were still doing the sequential reprints, but I guess they don't sell as well. So I'm an outlier, Joe. I've always been an outlier. Mm-hmm. What's next on your list?
I've got to think on these. Avatar Press, are doing some Alan Moore complete collections.
These have been available in the past.
Okay, so I might have them. I'll have to double check.
Yeah, you'll want to check and see if you've already got these.
Because I know I have the Writing for Comics. I don't think I have the Cinema Purgatorio. The other two I'm going to have to check. I believe I do have them. So if you didn't get a chance to grab them before, definitely worth checking out.
I need to check something here. I tend to, because they don't buy a whole bunch of ads, I always need to check out Albatross Press. They're the people who do the Goon to make sure that there's not a new issue of anything that I'm buying. And it looks like...
Albatross.
Nope, they have nothing this month. Unless they've moved to another part of previews. So, my next book is... flipped forward to where the page is dog-eared it down. Ah, it's a ways away. So it is page 304 under Drawn and Quarterly. John Stanley Library, Nancy Volume 2 Hardcover. This reprints the Dell Nancy comics that were written and drawn by John Stanley, who, when Little Lulu was canceled, he moved over and did Nancy comics. And his Nancy comics were phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And it always bugged me as a kid because I would read the Nancy comic books and go, oh, these are so cool and so full of ideas. And then I'd read the strip and I'd go, why don't they have any of the stuff from the comic book in these strips? But they're reprinting them. Drawn and Quarterly does a beautiful job on these. And $30 for a nice hardcover. Really love these books. John Stanley can do no wrong in my mind. Joe?
As long as we're on Drawn and Quarterly, I'm going to jump ahead because right above that's a book I'll recommend called Why Don't You Love Me by Paul B. Rainley. It says, Claire and Mark are both plagued by the idea that their life is all a dream. When reports of an imminent nuclear war come in on the radio, the truth begins to dawn on them. This is not the life they chose. It's a pitch black comedy about marriage, alcoholism, depression, and mourning lost opportunities. Let's see. They say Paul has created a hilariously terrifying alternate reality where confusion and pain might lead people to make bad choices, but might also eventually lead to freedom. And Drawn and Quarterly always has something to spark my interest. Cool.
I always like to point out what's coming out from Fantagraphics. This month on page 312, we have Walt Disney, Donald Duck, Donald's Happiest Adventures. It is a 48-page graphic album, much like how these comics are printed over in Europe by a couple of European creators. They present a mind-bending Duckburg graphic novel. When Donald grouses that money will never buy Uncle Scrooge happiness, Scrooge snaps and sets Donald on a treasure hunt for happiness itself. Presented as a lost 1960s Disney story, Donald's Happiest Adventures, bristled with wit in the Karl Barks tradition and bustles with the whole Duck Comics cast, including friends and rivals, Gladstone Gander, Mickey Mouse, and Peg Leg Pete. Down below it are a bunch of the other Fantagraphics Disney books. I would recommend, The Complete Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck, Volumes 1 through 2, Boxed. It is the best Uncle Scrooge story ever, where Don Rosa tells the entire story of Uncle Scrooge, weaving it in and out of all of the Karl Barks Uncle Scrooge stories. Now, you could read it without all the detail, but then I remember when they printed it, when Gladstone was publishing all those Karl Barks comics, and the detail is phenomenal in that he uses the same layouts of the areas that Uncle Scrooge visited in those Karl Barks comics and obscure characters and et cetera, et cetera. Just so, so good. Well worth your money. Some of the best stuff you've read in a long, long time. Joe?
Back on page 285 under Bad Kids Press, Nowhere Man by Johnny Buzitz. Richard is trapped in a spiritual world called the Dreamtime, a surreal landscape of the subconscious where dreams are real. All he encounters gods, shamans, and other strange, unexpected creatures, straddling the field of action, adventure, introspective literature, and horror. Check out this confident first issue from Lori Teller. Ten issues. I'm kind of wary about an issue thing, but as I mentioned, you don't support them now, we'll never get to issue 10. And it sounds interesting. Corey, would you take a quick look to page 296?
Sure.
This page is for those of you that want to be permanently banned on eBay. All the Belladonnas you could get, because you ain't going to find them on eBay. What do you got next?
Let's see what I do have next here. I actually don't have much left.
Well, while you're looking, I will mention...
Oh, there's Knights at the Dinner Table.
Oh, of course. On page 302 is your chance to get the She Omnibus hardcover from Bill Tucci that has the entire 12-issue series, the three-part interlacing Tomu miniseries, and the 48-page She versus Tomu. And I picked mine up through his Kickstarter. Well, here's your opportunity to pick it up as well. It says, please inquire. I have no idea what they charge for this way, but it's a beautiful omnibus. If you love the series, it's definitely worth picking up.
If you go to page 355, there is a new Star Trek novel that is listed. Star Trek Harm's Way by David Mack. No, not the David Mack who does Kabuki. The other David Mack. However, because of the name confusion, the artist David Mack who does Kabuki has drawn covers for the writer David Mack who does Star Trek books. It is a new Star Trek novel continuing the legacy of the acclaimed Vanguard series. Captain James T. Kirk and the Kirk of the Enterprise go in search of a missing Federation scientist, only to become trapped between a Klingon warship and Starfleet's mysterious Operation Vanguard. I don't know what the Operation Vanguard is, but I do like me my Star Trek novels.
It was a series of books, if you recall.
Oh.
It ties into the Starfleet or Star Trek Vanguard books.
Ah, okay.
Oh, that's why you got to read the book. Ironically, I too have a Star Trek thing, but I'm still in the IDW on page 331. Just pointing out, for those of you who like Star Trek Strange New Worlds, here is the start of a new series. The journey to new reaches in this exclusive comic tie-in set between seasons one and two of the Paramount Plus series Strange New Worlds. So you can see what the heck's been going on to your characters while we're waiting for those live actions to start again.
If you go to page 377, this is the Tomorrow's page. So, of course, we have Alter Ego. But I want to point out a book, The Life and Art of Dave Cockrum. From the letters pages of Silver Age Comics to his 2021 induction in the Will Eisner Hall of Fame, the career of Dave Cockrum started at the bottom, then rose to the top of the comic book industry, beginning with his childhood obsession with comics and continuing through his years in the Navy. The Life and Art of Dave Cockrum follows the rising star from fandom, where he was one of the big three fanzine artists, to Prodom, where he helped revive two struggling comic book franchises. Joe, does Joe know for a shiny new dime, what were those franchises?
X-Men and Ethel the Aardvark Goes Quantity Surveying.
Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, well, same thing.
I don't remember Ethel the Aardvark in Legion of Superheroes, but you know, they had enough members that it might have been there.
Yeah, definitely.
This is a wonderful book talking about his life, showing examples of his art, and really going into how he... It's something that we don't see anymore. You don't see fan art becoming professionals anymore, because the whole area of fanzines is something that's completely gone. So, and Dave Cockrum, hell of an artist. Just a hell of an artist. So, I highly recommend this book. Joe?
Let's see. I'm going to point out on the Oni Press, if you're a Rick and Morty fan or a fan of Cthulhu, guess who's meeting each other? But on page 359, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right. Mauve, M-A-E-V-E, Rising Warrior. Discover the story, Ireland's greatest heroine of antiquity, the Irish warrior queen. Oh, thanks for the hyphen, guys. Conanch, somebody from Ireland, call me and let me know if I'm pronouncing this right. Became the High Queen of all of Ireland and an Irish goddess. Through her will, strength and prowess over men. Her name means intoxicating. She was the most beautiful and powerful woman in ancient Ireland more than 2,000 years ago. Skilled in the arts of Celtic druid magic and sorcery, learn how she discovers her powers and strengths to become Ireland's greatest female hero. 48 pages, I believe a one-shot, and this is under Red 5 Comic. So that was enough to catch my attention. I may be ordering that.
Joe, go to page 397.
Oh, I've already ordered mine.
You've been talking about this company for a while. That is yes. Z2, their new book coming out in previews, The Illustrated Owl, The Songs of Weird Al Yankovic, all interpreted by a number of different artists. This was a Kickstarter book. And now it is available through previews.
And it's not shipping. If you did order it, it's not shipping until November, because I had to go back. I keep seeing it popped up on my Facebook feed. And I'm like, I ordered mine. And then, oh, yeah, it hasn't published yet. So it's not like I'm missing it. Just has not been published yet.
Yeah. But there it is. Also on that page is a Tori Amos book, It is 24 stories. Neil Gaiman did one of them about the Tori Amos album, Little Earthquakes. And then for me, that is it, because the other books I have are stuff that I am already buying. I do want to point out that on page 418, Maison Eco Coup, the 10th and final volume, is coming out. I remember when this came out as a regular monthly comic. It's like, oh, my God, this thing has been going on for 10 years. Well, now it's in 10 volumes, and it reads so much better in the big volumes. It really does. I remember with the monthly comic, after a while, it was, can we please just hurry up? So, Joe? Finish out your comics.
All right. For me, I've only got one more. It's on page 361. It's under Scout Comics. Lost Souls Haywire Number 1. Bob is a psychiatrist for robots, a psychiatrist who hates his job day in and day out. He analyzes, certifies, judges head-spinning drones, stuttering bots, the self-loofing droids, and he's had enough. All this silicon lunacy is driving him insane. Luckily, it's his last day on the job. Unluckily, he may have just botched his escape. That he's made a mistake. A mistake that has brought an unusual patient and one that will judge him. So, again, one of those weird descriptions that caught my fancy. And it's enough to make me plunk down my money to buy it. And now, the segment we like to call For Brian. Brian sent us an email and bitterly, bitterly complained that we don't spend near enough time in the flip side of the previews catalog, which has all the toys and collectibles and other kind of fun stuff that, you know, you really don't see in a lot of comic stores around, probably because it's damn expensive, but, you know, some of it's kind of cool. So naturally, I like to find the most expensive possible thing for him to buy, and I failed this month because there wasn't enough that really interested me. That said, the first thing I recommend is on page 26. Listen up, maggot. G.I. Joe Classified Series Sergeant Slaughter 6-inch action figure from the Hasbro Toy Group. You know you need this one, maggot. You got Hulk Hogan on your shelf. Time to get the Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slobber.
So scheduled to ship, though, after Christmas, so don't be buying it for Christmas. How about you, Corey? I got a couple more things for Brian. You got anything for Brian?
I have one thing that I am ordering. I did this my last year in the office. And now I'm not in the office anymore, so it won't be as fun, but I'm still getting it. That is the Funko Marvel Holiday 2022 Advent Calendar on page 47. It's an Advent calendar, and as you open each one, there's a little teeny Funko figure. I love Advent calendars. Even though I am not a Christmas person, I love Advent calendars. I love, oh, you open it up and there's something new in there. When I was a kid, we used to have the ones that would have a different chocolate in it. And then now there are ones where, okay, each one, whatever you think is cool. Like, they have four Advent calendars here, a Disney, a Harry Potter, a Marvel, and a Star Wars. But if you look, there are all kinds of them. There are Lego Advent calendars and stuff like that. I like the Marvel ones. I'm not, as I said, I'm not a big Funko guy. But it was fun that year to, okay, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Oh, it's the Wasp. Yay. I'm such a child. Joe, you had others?
I got two more things. One of them is on page 28, the Marvel Legends Gear Tesseract and 6-inch Loki figure. I don't really care about the Loki figure, but damn, you need to put a glowing 1-to-1 scale Tesseract on your shelf. You can press the button for two different light modes to illuminate the Tesseract and feel the Space Stone's immense power. And being that I've actually suggested some really, really expensive things for Brian to buy, I figured I was going to be nice and I'm going to buy this for myself. Way forward. In Games and Puzzles on page 106, there is the Marvel Spider-Man Premium D20 die. You can take your own polyhedral piece of everyone's favorite webhead to the next friendly neighborhood RPG session. And this is the official Marvel Spider-Man 20-sided oversized die. So, and it's only $9.99. So I know I'll probably get at least one just in case I get drawn into a life or death role-playing game session. I'll have Spider-Man on my side.
Which is important.
Which is nice, yeah.
You know who else is on your side, Joe?
Wasn't it the guys who hold that rock and sing?
No, it's these guys, our sponsors. Our newest sponsor is NordVPN. Let's be honest, if you're out on the internet, you need a VPN to protect you. There's all sorts of things going on the internet where people can track you. You could accidentally download a keylogger, all sorts of things. NordVPN gives the best security possible. It has a password manager, which generates complex passwords, syncs across all your devices, stores your notes and credit card information. It also gives you 10 gigabytes of private cloud storage, secure files that backs up your data automatically. But the main thing it gives you is peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind when you're out on the internet, when you're streaming, when you're playing games, when you're listening to podcasts like this one. It gives you safety anywhere at any time. It protects your online activity. You get full access to all content. And if you use the link go.nordvpn.net, SH3KU, it'll take you to where you can get a great deal for a 1-month plan, a 2-year plan, a 1-year plan. They are our newest sponsor. We're happy to have them. And if you would like to sponsor something here at any of the podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email me, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. And, of course, me. I'm always on your side giving you more podcasts like these. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, the solo radio podcast that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed.
I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks. And now, Joe, tell us what we could do if we feel like leaving the house.
Sure. Hang on a second. I got to find where I was. Where I was. Because there's actually some new stuff that popped up even as we were talking. Lest you think I listen to everything Corey says. No, I'm busy scouring the webs to find out what's going on. So let's see. Dun, 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 dun. We still got BotCon going on, which will happen on, oh, there it is, October 21st to 23rd. Lots of cool people there. Go to the website, TFCon.com. Get it, TransformersCon.com. Peter Cullen, of course, voice of Optimus Prime. The voice of Megatron is going to be there.
Voice Who's RC. Going to be the voice of Reason?
Anybody who goes there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry too much about that. Let's see, what else we got coming up? The Halloween Bash 4 from the Minnesota Toy Posse is going to be, well, it's the Curse of the Minnesota Toy Posse. It's going to be held October 30th at the Bloomington Event Center. That's where they go during the winter months to hide from the winter cold. It's on 1114 American Boulevard West. If you've been there, it's great. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 75 tables, toys, collectibles, all sorts of fun things. Free admission. So that's another reason to go. Let's see. My thing is just not cooperating here. Twin City Con is November 11th through the 13th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And they got oodles of guests going there as well. And I'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. And then our buddies at the Minnesota Comic Exchange are going to be doing a show in November, on November 19th, 1 week ahead of when you and I get together with hopefully Butch and we do our infamous Black Friday run. It'll be 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the same spot, the Valley Creek Mall over there in Woodbury. It's right before Black Friday, so it's a good chance to get holiday shopping done early. Totally sold out already. So get yourself on a reserve list to see if somebody cancels and you can get on. So very, very excited there. It's an extra hour as well, so you don't have to rush there and leave by 2. Me, I got to rush there by 9 because I got to probably get up and go to work. So in the future, MiniCon, April 7th through 9th, is being held in Minneapolis, Minnesota by the Minnesota Science Fiction Society. Fan guest of honor will be Greg Ketter, and we will probably be visiting him, and we'll, if we remember, we'll ask him about that. Also, I want to mention, it's not quite a, not so much a show, but I do want to mention down in Austin, Minnesota. Yes, the same place that makes Spam, Hot Off the Press Comics and Coffee, is now open and ready for fun. They're at 501 First Drive Northwest, Austin, Minnesota. You can go to Hot Off the Press Comics and Coffee.com. to find. I'm sorry. Hot off the press comics. Forget the coffee part. And well, what the heck? Let's just hit it. See what they say here. Yeah. Looks like they're selling books. You can do your subscriptions online. And my guess is, and this will be how I get Chris down there, we'll go get some coffee. So, a new comic store for us to visit, Corey. It'll give us something to do. Woo-hoo! Oh, and I got, well, I'll tell you what, I'll talk about that in geeking. I got some more interesting news. Yeah.
And now it's time for something that's rapidly becoming one of my favorite segments. Retro reviews.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing that.
Oh,
because I figured with the long okay. Previews we wouldn't. But go ahead, do one, and we'll just do you because I don't have anything ready.
The book I have is one that I found while poking around at the Unique and More in Clinton, Iowa. Joe, I now have a copy of issue one of Fast Willie Jackson. Fast Willie Jackson was put out by Fitzgerald Publications, which was a very small press publisher in the 70s. And this was a knockoff of Archie Comics made for the African-American audience because in the 70s, there was this surge of African-Americans having more financial power after the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. So there were a number of books and magazines and TV shows and such that catered to that audience. This is very much a hip 70s African-American version of Archie, featuring the character of Fast Willie Jackson. They introduce all of the characters early on. You have Frankie Johnson, who's very much the 70s, kind of the super cool guy who, you know, he's really cool, but most people don't like him because he's kind of a scam artist. Dee Dee Wilson, who's the hot girl. Fast Willie Jackson, who is our hero. JoJo, who does not... remember in Monty Python when they had blah, 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 is not appearing in this movie. JoJo is on this page, and he's in the background of some things, but we know nothing about him. Hannibal, who's kind of the moose character. He's the big, strong guy. And then Jabbar, who is the radical, who's always wanting black power and against the man. By the way, we do have the man, Officer Flag, the only white character in the book.
Officer Flag.
There's also a Latino character who owns the version of Pop's Chocolate Shop where everybody hangs out. There are a number of short stories in this. The first one is that Fast Willie was trying to take Dee Dee for a hamburger, but the $5 bill he had is missing. So there's all this trash on the street, and he thinks that it fell out on the street, and everybody in his group is looking for the $5 bill, and in looking for the $5 bill, they clean everything up. After Officer Flag said that he was going to run them all in for littering, even though they didn't do any of the littering. If you did not know better, you would think this was put together by Archie. It's the exact same art style of Archie in the 70s. A lot of one and two page stories. The second story is about Frankie. It is Happy Birthday, Frankie. Frankie comes to Dee Dee's birthday party, and he's convinced her that because it's her birthday, she should be buying him presents. Oh, what a funny twist. And she, of course, gives all of her presents to Frankie because she's so in love with him. And when he leaves, it's because he's got another girlfriend who has a birthday next week. The final story is about Dee Dee, who wants to buy some cool threads, but her dad says no because she'll look like no daughter of mine is going to be out on the street looking like that. And dad is mad that she's dating Frankie. So what she does, she has Fast Willie Jackson dress up like Frankie. Frankie comes to the house and she says, I told you I don't want to see you anymore. Get out of here. And her dad says, oh, you seem to have matured lately. I'm going to buy those clothes for you. This was not for me. In the 70s, this was not for me. I don't know if it was for the audience that they intended it for either, because, boy, it sure reads like a bunch of middle-aged men writing about African-American teenagers. But it does follow the Archie formula right down to the art style. It sold for 30 cents back when comics were selling for 20. So it only lasted 7 issues. It's more of a curiosity than anything else. And while it's well put together, I can't see anybody from the time who would be in the intended audience picking it up and liking it, which is probably why it didn't last too long. But if you've not heard of Fast Willie Jackson, now you have a mid-70s Archie knockoff. Joe, it's time for my favorite part of the show. No, not where I reach into this drawer and, oh, look, did you know marijuana is legal in Illinois? Not that I would have bought anything.
Uh-huh.
No, Joe, what are you freaking on? It's freaking a geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, I mentioned that I would update you guys what's going on with my health. I did go in to see the urologist. And let me tell you, there's got to be something about men's health. Because, again, another very young doctor, female doctor, they must know a bunch of us old farts were going to go get old and just go to pot. Because that's where the money is. And let me tell you.
Yeah, the pot.
I mentioned earlier when I first mentioned this, the guys, don't be squeamish. Get your colonoscopy. Get your prostate checked. Do yourself a self-testicle exam. And to the latter, because if you don't, if you let a urologist do it, they do not fuck around.
And they're not nice about it.
Well, she did apologize. Because she's checking to see just what the hell's going on with this, you know, lump I've got. And some good news, she doesn't think it's cancerous because it doesn't seem to be on the testicle itself. And believe me, she checked much more thoroughly than I did. So, again, it's a serious thing. And again, all sense of modesty is gone when it has to do with my health. The next step for me will occur. Part of it will have occurred by the time we pod next. I'm going in for my first ever MRI, which is interesting because they give you all this information. Are you claustrophobic? Are you diabetic? Do you have any implants? And they're not necessarily, they need to know about my hip implants, but they're looking for active implants because an MRI uses magnets and would mess up things like your insulin pump or your pacemaker, things like that. I'm not sure if I'm claustrophobic, but way back when, and I think I talked about it, I had like a foot-long needle injected into my hip in order to help quell the pain before I had my hips replaced. And all I had to do, because I've had a couple with cortisone shots in both hips, and all I had to do is just kind of get myself in the place to just, okay, you got to hold still, you know, kind of control my breathing, almost like meditation. And just, so we'll find out how I fared. Did I do well? Did I freak out? Did I gain magnetic powers? Ooh, this could be interesting next week. So again, health-wise, guys, gals, don't fuck around when it comes to your health. Get the prostate exam. Get the colonoscopy. Get the mammogram. Do your self-exam on your body, both breasts and testicles. If you got a weird lump, you got a skin lesion, check it out. I've got two friends that have reported they have cancer. You've got to continue treatment. Really serious operations, chemo coming up. And, you know, they were taking care of themselves, and it still got away from them. You just don't be – we don't want to lose any more listeners.
I have had an MRI.
Ooh, what can you tell me about it?
They're going to say, would you like to choose some music?
That's kind of what I figure. And then because it's my...
Here's the thing, Joe. Doesn't matter what music you choose, because when they put the headphones on, you know, you'll go in and then you won't be able to hear it, because instead all you will hear is...
Yeah, and that baby takes off. Now, because they're going to be doing my pelvic region, I don't think I have to worry about the, okay, hold your breath for 30 seconds thing, because I've been trying to do that and I just can't. So we'll see what happens. That's pretty much all I'm freaking about. Is that enough? Isn't that enough? Oh, sorry, I got to calm down. Corey, what you freaking on?
First thing I am freaking on, Joe, I drove down to Illinois on the Mississippi River Road. Beautiful. Talked about it last week. Even though it sounded like this the whole time. Absolutely beautiful. Drive back. I wanted to just get back home. You know, I think most of us are like that. We'll kind of mosey on our way. And then when we're done, it's like, I'm done. I want to be home. So I came home on the freeway. And yes, I stopped at the world's largest truck stop, which had the most bootleg Punisher merchandise ever assembled in one place. Oh my God. They had a bunch of flags. I asked them if they had a Jolly Roger. They said no. I asked them if they had a baby metal flag. They said no. So I left. I bought a candy bar and left. But the drive back through Iowa, and I talk about this a lot. When I first drove to Minnesota, first time I drove here, I stopped at what is now the world's largest truck stop. It was just a Amoco station. That's all it was. Now it's the world's largest truck stop. We cut through going up through Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, and that was two-lane highway all the way from I-80 to I-35, and it was really easy to get sidetracked or lost. I remember there was one time we were heading down to Illinois, and we got horribly, horribly lost. Now it's all four-lane freeway, the most boring drive in the world.
But you got to take it in spring when everything smells like manure.
No, I took it in, every time I go through Cedar Rapids, I roll the windows down because Cedar Rapids smells like oatmeal cookies, because that's where Quaker Oats is located, and it just smells like roasted oatmeal cookies. Absolutely love that. But the rest of it is flat, 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 flat. They've gotten rid of all the trees. They've gotten rid of all the hills. It's just flat. And I was listening to Wastelanders, the Wolverine Wastelanders story. And if not for that, I swear I would have fallen asleep. There's an old joke where you could device called the club that you could put on your steering wheel so that people, if they tried to steal your car, the steering wheel wouldn't move. I could have sat my cruise control at 65, put on the club, and fallen asleep. I would have woke up 2 hours later, still be going without a problem. Ugh, it's a horrible, horrible drive. The one comic I am buying as a monthly comic from DC has been canceled.
Which is?
Batman Urban Legends, because it is their Batman anthology book. You know, it's $7.99 book that's, 64 pages or 80 pages, one of the two. I can't remember which. But I've been buying it because I love anthology books. And this focuses on the lesser-known characters in the Batman universe. Well, with issue 24, either issue 22 or issue 24, it's canceled. And that upsets me. Because I like anthology books, and I know they are always going to break my heart because I'm the only person who likes them. And Jody, remember a while back when I said that I was so excited that they had created a Grendel series for Netflix?
Yes.
And then I was super excited because they had finished filming. And then I was even more excited because they'd finished, they'd done all the post-production. Netflix canceled it before it even came out.
Yeah.
So they are shopping it to other streamers. Netflix cancels everything. but I've never heard of Netflix canceling a series before they even air it. So Dark Horse putting together the, oh, we'll get the Grendel anthology out. We'll get all this Grendel merchandise out. Really cool for me, but I hope they didn't. I hope they didn't make a whole lot of it, or they're going to have warehouses full of it. Yeah, Joe, what do you
don't want to kitchen sink crow that baby, do you?
No.
All right.
Joe, what are you geeking on, Joe?
Because I was sick 2 weekends, went to a wedding. I didn't do a lot of reading like I normally do. I did read what I picked up at the MCBF show from my partner, Pat. Avengers: Rage of Ultron, a Marvel original graphic novel. And of course, I was visibly confused because I have no idea if this is an in-continuity book or an out-of-continuity book. Because I don't recall Sabretooth ever being part of the Avengers. And again, this is a second printing, so it must have sold well. 2015 is when it came out as an opening with Kurt Busiek writing about it, how much he loves Ultron, and he did a kick-ass story. So, yeah, I'm just kind of looking at the cast, because it takes place then, it takes place now. And was Sabretooth part of the Avengers in 2015?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. It was female Thor time, and Giant Man, Hank Pym, Vision was the green Vision with the red face. And this was a really good story. I mean, one of the things that always sometimes throws me out of stories, be it movies, TVs, or original graphic novels, is that I'm looking and I'm like, oh, there's only a half hour left. How are they going to solve this problem? You know, TV shows, ongoing, maybe less of a problem. Comics, less of a problem, unless they're like, to be concluded. And you're like, I'd rather not be told the next issue is going to be concluded, just so that it surprises me when it's done. But I know why they do it. But in this case, it was the same thing. I'm reading this and I was really into it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's not much left of this book. How the hell are they going to solve this problem? And again, I have no idea if it's a continuity book, out of continuity, but it was a good romp for what it was. I definitely recommend it. Matter of fact, you may have a chance to buy this one because, Corey, you might want to sit down for this one. I've actually re-engaged on eBay. And not just, I haven't opened my store yet, but I have been putting things up just to try to get a feel for it. When I did my auction for the graphic novels, again, I'm not stupid. I know, yeah, if I've got a mint copy of She-Hulk 1, I'll probably get some decent money for it, or whatever key book that's really hot. Because what's happening is everybody's always hip on the hot first appearance, next appearance, soon to be in a movie, soon to have a TV show, whatever. Oh, just what? They canceled it. But my strength on eBay was always just finding harder to find books that cost a little bit more because nobody's really looking for them. So I haven't quite figured out. I probably will open up an eBay store. I'm cooling down. And again, I'm a little worried because if somebody decides, oh, look, Ryder's back on, what can we can him for this time? These are all those Belladonnas and previews I could buy. Anyways, I did put up a couple books. If you are interested, the best way to do it is go to ebay.com/USR/crazy. That'll be a list of everything that I have going. The auctions I did with graphic novels, first of all, those of you that bought, thank you. Those of you that didn't, well, I guess I didn't have anything that interesting up. But they weren't really that great. I mean, I sold a bunch of books at 99 cents plus shipping. So to me, that tells me auctions, for the most point, are pretty much dead on the eBays. Unless you're, yeah, I got Amazing Fantasy 15. Let's see how high I can go. You are high. Take it to Heritage. So I'll be putting some stuff up. If, again, you saw something that disappeared that you're kind of sort of maybe interested in, let me know. And once I get my groove back, I will probably announce, hey, the eBay store is back. I don't know if we're going to really push it. I may just do a little blurb that Corey can drop in the ads, because I really like that. So that what we're doing now in lieu of the eBay, what's going on in the eBays, where we talk about, you know, odd and rare and fun issues and actually get into the issues, not just, hey, this is fun, check it out. So we may be continuing that. And what I'll do is maybe figure some other way, because, you know, even if you just buy stuff, you tell me you're a listener of this here show, I'll toss in a couple fun stuff for you, because I got oodles of stuff to give away. Even at the MCBF show, I had one of those. For a while, I was buying the Gold Key books, and you've seen them. They're in the previews, and I had one left for Guardians of the Galaxy. These are ones that I would put up and put low so that the kids that would come by would buy things through the charity store, because these would be books for them, and most of them are only $5, so it's not like they're very expensive. I had one left, and some kid came by, and I asked the mom, is he behaving himself? Yeah. And I said, do you like Guardians of the Galaxy? And he goes, yeah. So I gave him the book. I got rid of it. See, I'm crazy. I like to give away stuff. Speaking of crazy, I watched some stuff. I am watching Andor, Star Wars. I think 5 episodes are up. I'm just taking my time. I'm doing one when I feel like it, I'm enjoying it. I have no idea where they're going with it. Unfortunately, I made the connection that this character is the one that is also in Rogue One. So while I was watching it, I was thinking, oh boy, you know, there's always a life or death thing where they're talking about, you want the guy's in peril. Is he going to die or not? And it's like, well, he obviously ain't, because he's got to show up and show up in, what do we call it? Rogue One. So it's not like it's going to be a mystery as to whether he succeeds, which kind of takes some of the fun away, because it's really harrowing what he's doing, what's happening. I did watch, of course, Lower Decks. I will mention one thing that I do when I watch Star Trek. Doesn't matter if it's Discovery, Strange New Worlds, or Lower Decks. And then I go over to whatculture.com/StarTrek. Or Trek Culture is another thing they call themselves, because they review the episodes, which is kind of fun, because they get into not only kind of reviewing the episodes, the host, his name's Sean, he gives you kind of an up or down as whether or not he likes it. He invites you to come talk to him on Twitter or on the YouTube page. And then they go into quotation observations, where they get into the nitpicky and the Easter eggs that us geek fanboys, fangirls love. Now, he just did one that's interesting, talking about why Star Trek Picard needs a spinoff. And Star Trek is suffering a bit from what I call Star Wars. It's like Star Wars is so busy playing around in the past. Yeah, Obi-Wan was fun, but we knew Obi-Wan wasn't going to die. Darth Vader ain't going to get his comeuppance. Princess Leia ain't going to die. It's just an adventure. It's fun. It's a roller coaster. Let's see where they go with it. They throw away enough little Easter eggs to keep geeks like me going. But it doesn't matter. We know the ending of how these characters will die. And that's kind of something that Star Wars and Star Trek have in common. They're not dealing with what I call, air quotes, current time. In other words, they haven't done anything with the final trilogy, which was good. Not great. It was good. Star Trek's doing the same thing. They got shows way in the future. They got shows in the past. They got shows set at the latter part of the 24th century. They don't have anything going on now, except Star Trek Picard. And even then, there's so many characters that aren't in the third season of Picard that are just gone. Star Trek's always been terrible about using their universe. They always want to create things, and now they've got the entire, wherever Picard takes place, 2401 or whatever. I'm not even going to look up the date. And there's no spinoff, and they need it. Again, I'm aping what Sean Ferrick talked about on Trek Culture. Check it out. Why Star Trek Picard needs a spinoff. And You may agree, you may not. You may not be a Star Trek geek, but I think they're right. They have all the characters. Most of the characters are still alive that were in Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Next Generation. And you've already advanced the storyline in Picard 30 years later. Go with it. But what do I know? I'm just sitting here with my money dying to give it to you, Paramount. Speaking of money to give, if you're so inclined, jump over to cinemajudge.com. My good buddy Jeff there does a review of Andor with interviews with Diego Luna, Stellan Skarsgård, and he also has done interviews with Bros, the gay bromance for the LGBT comedy produced by Judge Apatow and directed by Nicholas Stroller with Luke McFarlane, Bill Eichner. There's also a review of, or I should say he puts up interviews for Pinocchio with Tom Hanks. I almost got my wife to watch that, but she was like, she balked because she was like, oh, I watched it as a kid. I didn't like it. We did, however, go out and do another $5 movie, and we went and saw The Greatest Beer Run Ever, which I know very little of. So it was fun for me to watch this adventure. Basically, it's a based on a true story where a man leaves New York in 1967 to bring beer to his childhood buddies in the army while they're in fighting in Vietnam. And there is a couple of questions as to whether or not, I mean, people are, they're going to read this story and or see the book, or the book was actually written by a guy, Chick Donahue, who was a former U.S. Marine, a merchant seaman, and talks about how he actually got this weird idea to support the troops. I'm going to bring some beer to these guys. Because he's a merchant seaman, he can get himself over to Vietnam. And I've got the book. My wife's reading it. I've got the, I watched the show. And let me see. It's got some people you probably heard of. Zac Efron. I'm telling you, man, he's turned into such an awesome actor. You know, and I was all over him because, of course, you know, he was in all, what were those kiddie Disney movies? Because my kids.
High School Musical.
Oh, yes, yes. And he showed up in Hairspray and stuff. Russell Crowe is in it. Blink, but you'll probably recognize him. Bill Murray, Kyle Allen, just a whole ton of people. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I think half the fun of it is just watching the fairly incredulous adventure. But I talked to my old buddy, Eric Jackman Turmo, as to, hey, would this be feasible? I mean, could you see this happening today? And he goes... And I tried to describe the movie because he's busy, won't have a chance to see it. And he said, you know, I hate to say it, but yeah, someone could probably pull something like that off in Iraq or Afghanistan when the U.S. troops were there. And he says, the key is just act like you belong. And odds are good, you probably won't be questioned as you wander through.
That's good advice anywhere.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I love, one of my favorite movies is Secret of My Success from Michael J. Fox with Helen Slater in it. And he's a mailroom guy. He's working for his uncle's company. He's at the bottom rung. And he just discovers an office. He orders a bunch of supplies because he's got friends and supplies. He shows up and sets up office. And part of the shenanigans occurs because he's got to avoid his uncle. He falls in love with the woman that his uncle's hitting on. And it's a great comedy. My wife hates it. I love it. Go figure. But it's just one of those things, you know, and again, I have dreams like that too, where I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be, either in Howard Stern's studio or maybe crashing the Jason show. And I just act like I'm supposed to be there. So, I mentioned the new comic store that we went to, or I haven't been to, but that opened up in Austin. So I won't go back to revisit that. But I did do some little shopping. And unlike most shopping, well, first of all, I was out looking for previews, which I found. Thank you, The Source. But I also did some things that I don't normally do. I actually took the list I made for the MCBF show, and I filled in some holes. Some holes for the Peter David Supergirl, a few more issues of Marvel Fanfare. Did not try to collect any Human Fly. I did look around for, like, I got some miniseries, like Superman, Wonder Woman, Whom's God Destroy. I'm missing issue 3.
Derp.
Did Hulk Grand Designs issue number 3 ever come out?
Yeah.
Okay. I never picked it up. couldn't find it there, so I'll visit some other place. So that was kind of different, going through picking up back issues that I needed, as opposed to just randomly going through and picking them up. That said, I screwed up because apparently I missed that I did end up buying a duplicate. But most of the books I bought were under $3. I mentioned before a metal variant, and I got my latest Kickstarter from Coffin. I do have another mysterious envelope sealed. Ooh. And unlike the I told you about the one that Eric picked up, Eric from the MCBF, which had a Michael Turner artist proof Lady Death cover, one of only two made, which is really cool. But I got a Lady Death metallic, what's it, La, I can't read this writing, M-U-E-R-T-A, kind of a tie-in to the Lady Death universe. And as far as I know, this is one of those where they only had 66 copies, and they keep like 10 of them, and they just randomly put the other ones away. Or I bought it. I don't remember. It's all a blur. But it is cool because I got the metal cover and autographed and everything. So I imagine I'll be sitting on that for a while. The other one I had, of course, was the Hell Witch, which is, I believe, was given to me. And eventually I ended up selling it. I do have a scan of it, and it was cool, but not $500 cool, which is what I got for it. Finally, I'm geeking because I have my collection sort of, kind of, maybe in some type of order. There are three distinct areas. The first one are my new comics, A to Z, by publisher, which helps because that's where I discovered I was missing Hulk Grand Design number 3, because it's not, 1 and 2 are there. I don't have 3. Was it 3 issues or did it go to 4?
Which book again?
The Hulk Grand Design.
Let me look.
I might have to pick up some of these other ones. They're actually pretty. It was a good read. I enjoyed it.
Looks like there were only 2 issues.
Oh, so maybe 3 hasn't shipped yet, or hasn't, will ship. Who knows? I'll have to look. The other part of my collection are all my mishmash. These are boxes of things that I was going to sell, or things that I'm not sure if I'm going to keep, or things that I want to read. There are still some random boxes. Like, I have one that's full of miniseries that I have yet to read. I don't want to necessarily mix them up with everything. I do want to read them, because if I like them, I keep them. If I don't, I get rid of them. The third part of my collection are my permanent books that I'm going to keep forever. ROM, Supergirl, Knights of the Dinner Table, things that will probably never be reprinted, like Marvel's, the Marvel 2-in-1, where they had the Not Ready for Primetime Players, the Marvel... No, that was Marvel Team-Up. The Marvel 2-in-1 is the one that had the Doc Savage in it. I've got that issue. I've got the issues of Death's Head where the Doctor was in, you know, going all the way back to Transformers, when Death's Head went after Doctor Who, and then, of course, they remet in his own UK series. You know, they're not going to reprint them. They don't have the rights for it. So I've got all that collected. My goal is, when we get to Black Friday last year, there's a comic online program called CVS. I believe so. Let me take a look at my not yet activated program. CLZ Comics, which would put my collection in my phone so that I could carry it with me. And then when I'm looking for issues I'm missing, instead of having a notebook, I just look it up on my phone, which works if you're in a store that you can get cell service. They also allow you to scan your book right from your phone and put it into the online database that you'll have. They also have a version that works on your laptop. Well, I want to buy both. And during Black Friday, last couple of Black Fridays, they have actually had sales on both of them, where it was cheaper to buy both than it was either one separate. Because I would, once you have it in your laptop or on your phone, they interlink with each other. And that's kind of what I want. So I'm looking forward to that. And it would be nice to figure out. And plus, then I can finally start. Like, I never did buy the Question. Was it Denny O'Neill who wrote that?
Yes.
I never bought the Omnibus because I have all the issues. I never bought any Hitman because I have all the issues. the Baxter Legion of Superheroes that Griffin did. Griffin? You know, Keith knows who he is. So I have all these in one spot. I filled in the holes. I would like to just sit down and read them all. Because odds are they'll never be reprinted in omnibus forms, or even if they have, still want to read them. So I'm pretty happy with that. It was a lot of fun. I do still get the geeky fun where I'm like putting things together, and then I get the like when I discovered I was missing Books of Magic when they did the Sandman universe, missing issue 21. Source. So that's I'm pretty happy. That's what I'm geeking on. Corey, what you be geeking on?
First thing I am geeking on is that I had Monday night off. Now, a lot of people are like, so what's the big deal? I have worked every Monday night at the group home for time immemorial. And I decided when I got back from my vacation, I wanted a night after I was done with my office job to just not work. And I spent it basically doing most of the stuff you do when you get back from vacation. I'd already cleaned out the fridge, but I did all the laundry and I did all of this. And I was done with everything I needed to do by 6 o'clock. And I sat down and I binged a TV show, Joe.
Ooh.
I am two seasons behind on What We Do in the Shadows, which is a comedy about vampires filmed as if it's a documentary reality show. It is one of the funniest goddamn things I have ever seen in my life. And I could only binge 5 episodes because by the end I was like, okay, I'm just laughing too hard. I have to stop. And there's something neat about the fact that I needed to stop because I was just laughing too hard. I also got caught up on most of the TV that I had missed while I was down in Illinois because my parents are really into baseball, which means that they were watching baseball, which puts me to sleep, which is how I was able to read so much while I was down there. But now that I'm back here, I'm reading a lot again, and I'm reading stuff that I bought down on the trip as well as current stuff. One of the things that I read that is current, I read Creepshow #1 from Image. And I was a little worried about it because, let's be honest, a lot of horror anthologies that they do now are more, how much gore can we throw at you? Creepshow was not. Creepshow was very much a fun throwback to the EC Comics. The art's not as good as EC Comics, but it never will be. But you had a story here by Paul Dini. You had art by Joel McRae. There were two stories in it. One was about a creepy old house where on Halloween there was a bowl there that said, take one. And some of the kids were jerks and decided to take more than one. And because it's a horror comic, of course, terrible, terrible things happened. The other one was a story called Shingo, written by Paul Dini, who did the Batman animated series and the Superman animated series and created Harley Quinn and has done a whole bunch of comics. And this is about a family who tried to get a clown, but they weren't able to. They were too late at getting a birthday clown. So instead, they brought in Shingo, who's not the kind of clown you would want at your birthday party. And the art by Joel McRae. Joel McRae is best known for his run on Hitman over at DC. He is having a ball drawing this book. It was so fun and so funny. And it's that horror humor that the Creepshow movie did so well. I didn't know if I would like this book. I am so glad I picked it up. This was just fun. It was fun to read. Also this week, we got Mad issue number 28, which is the 70th anniversary issue, which means it had 70% new material. Why am I pointing it out? Because there was a whole bunch of new stuff in there by Sergio. And anytime we get new Sergio Aragonés, we need to be very happy about it because He, as well as most of the other people who worked on MAD during their classic era, are getting up there in age, and anytime we get new work from them, we need to celebrate it. Sergio is a national treasure. Older comics I picked up. I picked up an issue of Ms. Tree, the Rock and Roll Summer Special. It was a one-shot back in the 80s, which had a lead story set before the Ms. Tree series when she was working with her husband, Mike Tree. And I have to remind people, I did not realize that the name Ms. Tree was a pun until 20 years after the book had seen print.
It's okay. I didn't realize it till you just said it.
But it's a really good mystery, a done-in-one mystery. There's a backup story about Bobby Darin. I know nothing about Bobby Darin other than a couple of his songs. And it's weird how he just kind of dropped off the pop culture scene once he passed away. But a really good story talking about his life and why Max Collins loved his work so much. And then there is a really well-written reminiscence from Max Allen Collins about the rock and roll band he had when he was a young adult. So, fun rock and roll special. I also found at these comic shops where I was rooting through the back issues, some issues of the Mighty Marvel Western. Mighty Marvel Western was a series that Marvel did starting in 1968. I did not realize it went back that far. That reprinted stories of the Rawhide Kid, Kid Colt, and the Two-Gun Kid. Everybody at Marvel Westerns were kids. I don't know why. But the one that I got, the lead story, was a Rawhide Kid story drawn by Jack Kirby. And then a Two-Gun Kid story drawn by Jack Kirby. And then a Kid Colt story drawn by, I have no idea, but it might be Don Heck. But whoever inked it really over-inked it because I could not tell who the artist was. And I'm usually pretty good at being able to tell who late 50s Marvel artists are. But these are issues that it was double-sized for the first 5 years. And then as the sales on Westerns dwindled down, it went to regular size and would just have one of the shorter stories with each of the characters. But still, I don't have a lot of Marvel Westerns. Marvel's not going to be reprinting a lot of their Westerns. So I really like the fact that I was able to pick up a few of these cheap. Last thing I'm geeking on my way back from Illinois, I stopped at a place in... It was out one of the suburbs of Cedar Rapids. It is a comic shop called Alter Ego Comics. And it felt very old school. I walked in and the new comics were to my left. Tons of back issues. Not as many as like a Hot Comics would have. But a lot of back issues for a modern comic store. They didn't have games. This was almost a pure comic store. They did have a big wall of Funko Pops for sale. But it was a really nice store. The person working there was not the owner, but they were knowledgeable. They wanted to chat. They chatted up with all the customers. They a really good comic shop. It was in kind of its own little building. It was a bit of a pain in the butt to get to, but you have to kind of expect that because if it's a pain in the butt to get to, the rent's going to be lower. But it was nice. I drive through that area whenever I go down to Illinois, and now it's like, oh, okay, I know where there's a really cool comic shop that I could stop by on my way down, then get a break from driving. And it is now October, which means that on the Criterion Channel and on Turner Classic Movies and on MeTV and everything, they're showing classic horror. Matter of fact, Criterion just got a whole bunch of the Universal monster movies from the 30s with nice 4K prints. So when I am done here, I'm probably going to settle down and watch Watch one of those that I haven't seen for a few years. Believe it or not, we have blathered on about comic books for almost 2 hours.
Didn't think we could do it, did you?
Oh, they know we could do it.
Yeah, that's true.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
One thing I missed. What was, you were talking about that calendar thing you bought?
Yeah, the Funko Advent calendar.
Jeez, I'm afraid for the calendar. Its days are numbered. I feel great. Corey, hit my music.
Done, bitches!